Dear beloved of God, grace and peace are yours this day, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. I've always been a little envious of Saul's story. His conversion or transformation or calling or whatever language you want to put around what happened in today's story just feels so cool and dramatic. Everything after this encounter seems so obvious. Saul is stopped in his tracks. He is told what he is doing wrong and then sent to be about something entirely different. And it all happens because Jesus speaks to him directly, like with his out loud voice. And I kind of want that, you know? That clarity. You were doing this. You thought it was the right direction. It is not. Do this instead. Clarity is kindness. Now look, I have plenty of people in my life who are happy to tell me when they think I am doing the wrong thing. It comes with the job, both as a pastor and as a parent. There's almost this continual feedback loop. The problem is the feedback is usually conflicting, and it doesn't often lead to obvious next steps. Saul, on the other hand, gets direct speech from the crucified and risen Jesus. I get emails and eye rolls. And look, I'm not complaining, really. I'm not really sure that I'm ready for what happens after Jesus speaks directly into your ear. It sounds kind of intimidating. But there's a part of me that feels like maybe a memo from Jesus would help. Then again, I'm also super suspicious of anyone who says that they have a direct line of communication with the divine. If God's talking to you, I mean directly communicating with you, let's just say I have some questions. So then what do we do with this story? On the one hand, it points to this powerful transformation that happens in Saul's life. There's kind of this, if Jesus can do this with someone like Saul, who was breathing threats and murder against those that followed Jesus, well then, Jesus can use just about anyone. And that is a good and faithful reading of Scripture. This happens all the time in the Bible, where God picks the unexpected and the unlikely person to be the instrument of God's work, to be the instrument of God's message of mercy and grace. Whether it's old Abraham and Sarah, or the youngest shepherd boy, David, or the teenage Mary, who's chosen to be the mother of God. This ragtag bunch of disciples that Jesus calls to follow him and work with him aren't really the folks that you or I would have chosen. God's squad is a really unlikely bunch of folks. And so there's that element to this story of Saul. But I think there's something more. Saul is so convinced that he's right. He's so right. So orthodox. He's certain. He knows what he knows. And he is firm in those convictions. That's why he's breathing threats and murder, because he knows he's right. Listen to how Paul describes himself in a letter that he wrote to the church at Philippi. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Blameless. I mean, you can't get any more right than that. And Saul's not wrong. He is right. He is doing everything like he's supposed to do it. He's following the letter of the law, the rule book, as it was handed down to him. Saul is a guardian of the faith, a steward of tradition. And yet he is standing in the way of what Jesus is doing, of what God is doing. In fact, Saul's working against the purposes of God, the very thing that Saul is fighting to protect. It's not that Saul's wrong. It's that his right is too narrow. Saul's right is too restrictive. His right doesn't encompass the fullness of God's love and God's mercy and God's grace that have been emptied into this world in the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. Saul's right is too small, but Jesus transforms that rightness into relationship through this guy named Ananias. And I think that's the real power of this story. Because very few of us will ever be knocked to the ground and blinded by light and the voice of Christ. But all of us will be drawn into a relationship that breaks open what we know to be right and invites us to consider anew the boundaries of God's love and God's life that is made known to us in Jesus. Someone who I really admire and really trust told me that oftentimes we can either choose to be right or we can choose to be effective. And there are so many times that I choose to be right. There are so many times where I cling tightly to what I know to be true. There are so many times where I breathe threats and murder because I feel under attack and I need to preserve and guard and protect. But time and again, God sends me people like Ananias, who helped the scales fall from my eyes, who helped me to see things differently, people who enable me to be more than right, people who help me to be in relationship. The God who became one of us, who lived as one of us, who died as one of us, didn't do it so that we could be right. Jesus loved us so that we could be restored to relationship with the God who made heaven and earth and all that is in it. God loved us so that we can continue to grow, continue to become the people that God is calling us to be, in relationship with one another, this day and always. Amen.